Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, thanks, everybody, as always, for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us. And we've got, again, a great guest to speak to you today. All of you should have heard of him, but, of course, the mainstream media does not always cover people who are doing tremendous things. But Ryan Bomberger, believe me, is one of the premier pro-life, pro-family leaders in the country. And he'll be with us in a few minutes. But first, as always, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as always, we are grateful to be citizens of the United States of America. And again, we don't take for granted the fact that we are able to do things in spite of some of the terrible mistakes that our policymakers are making and some of those who are in leaders in cultural influence are making. We still have the ability to critique them. We still have the ability to admonish them, to warn them. We have the ability to organize, to stop them. And in many places, none of that is possible. There are forces at work now to try to make it impossible here through the concept of hate speech and hate crimes and deplatforming and so forth. They are trying to silence us, or as Romans 1:18 says, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And Lord, that's what we are fighting to make sure does not happen, that America remains a nation whose God is the Lord, that America remains a righteous nation, a godly nation, that America remains a nation of individual liberty, which means, Lord, whether they will give us credit for it or not, we are even guarding the liberty of those with whom we disagree. We do not want them deplatformed. We do not want them silenced or censored. What we want is the opportunity to have a free and fair debate on the issues, because we are confident that when the American people listen to us versus the utter madness that the left is offering in their as their view of the world, it's a no-brainer. We win. So we're perfectly happy to have that debate. But they know that too. The left knows that too. And that's why they don't want a debate. They want to suppress. They want to silence. They want to censor. And so we are so grateful for these leaders who are on this call right now, for Ryan Bomberger, and for the many others, Lord, who are standing in the gap and crying aloud and sparing not and saying what needs to be said, even at often at great personal cost to themselves, sometimes under threat, sometimes with loss resulting in loss of income and doors slammed in their faces because people don't like where they stand on the issues. But nevertheless, there are millions in this country who are persevering in spite of it all. And we are grateful for that. And Lord, we're asking you to have mercy upon the United States of America, our beloved country. Lead us out of this dark period that we are in and bring back the consensus of Judeo-Christian principles and values that once governed this country. Not that we ever lived by them perfectly, but at least they did create a consensus that could unify us all around a common understanding of who we are as human beings, the proper role of government in our lives, and a common destiny that we are moving toward greater opportunity and prosperity and fulfillment of our God-given gifts and abilities, rather than degenerating into depravity. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you that things are as well with us as they are, but we also know that because of our faith in you and our commitment to what is right, things are going to get better even than they are right now. We believe that at least for the areas under which we and in which we have influence. So we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, the madness continues, but so do the voices of sanity. And Ryan Bomberger is one of those voices that just refuses to be silenced. Is he with us?
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, you read his biography. As I said before he came on, he is one of the premier voices for pro-life, pro-family principles and ideals. All of us need to hear more from him. And if we had a fair press, we would. But we're so happy that and honored that he has taken time out to be with us today. So, Ryan, and I'm a great admirer. God bless you. Thanks for coming on. And the floor is yours. And you can take this in whatever direction you feel led. And then we'll open it up for some questions and comments before we let you go.
Sure. What a blessing to be here. Thank you so much, Bishop. I love being able to have the opportunity to connect with people about these basic truths. It's crazy that in 2024, what we're advocating for is the controversy and what they are supporting, those who have a very unbiblical worldview on all kinds of things. They're the ones who are being celebrated. And it gets really discouraging. So I encourage people, first and foremost, always get into the Word, because when you inundate yourself with news, with all the bad news that's happening, it's easy to feel so crushed by the weight of what seems to be hopeless, but our hope is always in Christ. And I wouldn't do what I do without my wife and our small team at the Radiance Foundation. Without that, there really wouldn't be any purpose if we weren't driven by our love for God and our love for people. But my background, in about a sentence or two, I was conceived in rape but adopted in love into a family of 15, where I have 6 brothers and 6 sisters. 10 of us were adopted, most of us from the foster care system. And when it comes to common sense and gender confusion, it's really frustrating to me for people to, for instance, in the adoption realm, for people to say, oh, this child who's now in foster care is LGBTQ, you know, identifying, and they want to ignore the circumstances that led to that. I have several siblings who came from some severe sexual abuse, and to think that someone would ignore what led them to their current brokenness is insanity. But that's exactly what the world is demanding that we do. In fact, we're seeing laws right now pop up that if you're a parent who is not LGBTQ affirming, you are not eligible to be not only a foster parent, but to adopt a child who identifies as LGBTQ. And I don't know if you remember an article in the New York Times 2 years ago. It said during the summer of COVID in 2021, that parents who are not LGBTQ affirming should not only not be able to adopt LGBTQ affirming kids, or I hate saying the label, but you know what I mean. Those who are struggling with their identity with sexual confusion, gender confusion, but not only should those parents not be able to adopt them, but their peers as well. Meaning, if you're a Christian parent, basically, you should not be allowed to adopt, which is insane. I'm an adoptive parent. I have 4 kiddos, 2 of whom were adopted. And the reason why I'm drawn into this, not only because of my family background, but because I'm a parent of 4 kids. I love them like crazy. I have 2 girls, 2 boys. And the thought that the world is trying to tell them, you can't know your core identity. You can't know the most basic truth that God created us male and female. Well, if you can't know that, then you can't know anything else. And that's really the point of this drive to erase gender. It's the drive to erase objective truth. We live here in Loudoun County. In fact, I'm looking out my office window, and literally Loudoun County Public Schools is in our backyard. So we have one of the most egregious schools. It's called Woodgrove. And in these schools, there has been a thought experiment, and in public schools across the country, not just a thought experiment, but an action experiment, where they are inundating children with such bizarre confusion. And as a parent of 4, 2 of my kids were in the public schools here, the charter schools, for a short while until we pulled them back out and returned them to homeschooling. The reality is, children should never be someone's testing ground for their emotional or sexual affirmation. And that's exactly what's happening. It happened in the charter school. They had a young girl who insisted that she was a boy. So here my kids, who are in 4th and 5th grade, are being told by all their teachers not only to call this young girl by a different name, but to also regard her as a boy. And thankfully, my kids understood what some of that was and understood that they can still be loving and kind to that individual, but weren't giving in to the lie. But how many millions of children are held captive by a public school system because of that? My wife, just to give you a little background, my wife taught in public school and private school for 13 years. She knows about all the ins and outs. Her last 3 years were in inner city Philly. and her heart broke because of the layers of bureaucracy that prevented teachers from being as effective as they could be, and the layers and layers of political activism. In fact, my wife had to sit every Tuesday in her math class silent while Planned Parenthood came in to mislead her precious students. Every Tuesday, they called it Sex Tuesday. So Planned Parenthood would come in and they would, I don't even know how else to say it, vomit up their propaganda to these young kids who are already dealing with all kinds of generational issues. And so after Planned Parenthood would leave, my wife would then, if the students asked a question, she could answer, but she was not allowed to directly address what Planned Parenthood presented. And the kids always had lots of questions, and they loved their teacher, my wife, Bethany. So we have years and years of just passion for reaching young kids with the truth. Living here in Loudoun County, I've been involved in these school board meetings. We've been speaking at these school board meetings. Recently, we wrote a children's book series, two books. First one was She Is She, which is crazy because we're the crazy controversial ones for saying something so simple and basic. And also He Is He. And these books just really, they're binary gender affirming. Since people like to use the phrase gender affirming, yeah, well, they're binary gender affirming. And this is the type of thing that we need for young children. And actually, they're great tools for even teens and adults. Not only do we use rhyme and this, you know, these adorable illustrations, by the way, you can get these at radiance.life, but we also reinforce biblical truths, which are then reinforced by scientific facts. And so there are sections in the book after the rhyme is all over. You have a section called What Does the Bible Say? Then there's a section that What Does Science Say? And it's really, it's not just a primer. It's actually a great reminder to those who are struggling with, wait a minute, what exactly is the Bible's perspective on this gender confusion? Genesis 1:27, He created male and female, but there's so much more to that. And so equipping young people, equipping teens and adults with these basic truths is vital in a culture of capitulation, as we've seen in churches, as we've seen in our public schools, as we've seen in political parties. I mean, literally, we have a political party, you know, the political party that celebrates mutilating children in the womb is the same Democratic Party that is trying to mutilate children outside of the womb. And too many of us are just complacent. I mean, what does it take? Do they literally need to murder? Well, they've been doing that for years through abortion. And now they're slaughtering, or I should say, they are amputating body parts. They are deforming young children, all in the name of LGBTQism. And we as parents who not only love our own children, but we love our neighbors. And how do you love your neighbor as yourself? You don't want them to be harmed by a disastrous ideology that denies the most basic things about ourselves. So there are so many areas to get into. It's hard to talk about all this in 10 to 15 minutes. But part of the reason why we are here is because of our complacency when it comes to school boards. I never realized, I mean, we lived here in Northern Virginia for about 9 years. I never realized the power that a school board has, the amount of indoctrination that happens. Now, indoctrination could be positive and could be negative. In this case, it's incredibly negative because it defies basic biology and it forces us to mangle our language, and then also gets us to promote, you know, carcinogenic drugs. I mean, when I was growing up, it was just say no to drugs, and now it's just say yes to body altering and body mangling drugs and surgeries. And so the role of school board members is so incredible. Who would have thought that they would be deciding on books that contain porn and pedophilia and saying that it's okay? And don't get hoodwinked by the whole nonsense that, you know, the conservatives, these Christian folks, are trying to ban books. Well, everything doesn't go in a school, well, at least not yet. I mean, the school restricts all kinds of things. They restrict X-rated pornography, at least some of them do. There are things that they absolutely restrict. They restrict certain sites that have extreme violence, and yet no one's waving some flag saying, wait a minute, you're banning these things. You shouldn't be able to ban. No, parents have a say in what their children are exposed to. In the state of Virginia here, for instance, it is in our Constitution that parents have the fundamental right to deciding their child's education and their upbringing. And yet these school boards are passing resolutions, like the one here, Resolution 8040, that allows the schools to hide information about the child's gender identity or transition, hide that information from parents. The school boards, the locker rooms, all that kind of stuff, they are allowing all of this confusion in contradiction to what the majority of parents want. So one of the ways that we can combat this, of course, is through these school boards and getting, and I know it's a long haul thing, and it's not easy because you have to stick to it. And there are many parents here who are in this for years, but we have to get school board members who reflect our ideologies. The books that I mentioned, He Is He and She Is She, those are two tools for parents and adults, you know, homeschool educators, Sunday school teachers, to be able to teach the most beautiful basic things about our biology. Now, it doesn't go into, the books themselves are age appropriate for kids 2 to 8 years old, but there are resources that go even deeper that are for teens and adults. We have to educate ourselves on what's going on. We have to realize this is not just simply a love is love sort of thing, and it's, you know, you do you and I'll do me. That's not how it works. It is an ideology that has permeated every facet of American life to the point where you can get punished for not using fake pronouns. So there are so many dynamics to this that we have to keep in mind. One, don't get duped by being kind. We're always told be kind. Well, kindness doesn't mean lying. We're told that we're supposed to love one another. Yes, we are. Jesus told us to love one another as he loved us. And that love was a self-sacrificial love that was undeniably rooted in the truth. The way that we love other people is to figure out, how can I not only speak the truth, live the truth, but how can I help this resonate in a broken heart? And so as a parent of four kiddos, teenagers now, they're 13, 15, 16, and 19. My oldest is at college at LU. This is a battle that is ongoing, that is every day. And the worldview that we are shaping in our children starts at a very young age, starts when they're just a few months old, and it gets pretty solid at the age of 13. So if we decide, oh, I need to start talking about these issues in their mid-teens, late teens, it's not too late. Nothing is ever too late, but they have a very strong formation of a worldview. We have to start when they're young. We have to teach them before a broken world reaches them. Mm-hmm. So there are so many dynamics to all this. Would love to answer maybe some questions you have, and just love the opportunity to be able to speak truth into this relentless attack on our children.
Well, Ryan, as always, very informative, inspiring, right to the point. Folks, press *6 to get in queue to ask Ryan any questions you might have. You know, I was reminded again, I think this struck me before, years ago when we met, that I grew up in foster care until I was 10 years old, born into a broken home. So I can very much relate to some of that. You're a parent, and it's the passion in your voice, even when you start talking about your children and about parenting. What would you say to parents who are looking at the world and all around us? You said it, every aspect, every dimension of life, the supermarkets, the bookstores, the entertainment, the cartoons, everywhere this stuff is being pushed. What would you say to parents? I mean, get your books, and I mean that, because I just realized we have a school, my wife and I, we're going to get your books and include them in the curriculum for our children. But what else would you say to parents who are looking at this and feeling, oh, my goodness, how do you even deal with this?
We have to remember that we often think in our present moment that nothing has been more confused than it was before. But humankind, our favorite shape is the circle. We repeat the same crazy things over and over and over again. This is nothing new. I mean, Paul addressed all of these issues. The confusion, the sexual immorality, it was rampant. I mean, this is nothing new. So we have to step back just a little bit and say, you know what? Satan is always on the attack. That these things that we feel, that we see all around us, can feel overwhelming, but they're not insurmountable. I mean, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And honestly, you know, if you have four kids, four teenagers, you pray that and remind yourself of that all the time. I mean, my parents raised 13 teenagers, so I really don't even have an excuse. They survived and they thrived. But we have to understand that the world has always been lost, and it's just more amplified to us, particularly because of social media. Social media simply just takes the craziness and just multiplies it by so many. But there really are, and there always will be, the remnant. There really are many of us who aren't giving in, who aren't capitulating. And I just want to encourage parents, look, it's not okay to be like, well, you know, this is infused with all this sexual deviancy and this and these TV shows and this cartoon and this event. It's not okay. It's not okay to constantly expose our kids to it. And it is okay to say, you know what? This isn't okay in our family. And, you know, for us, unfortunately, we had to explain at younger and younger ages some of these issues and teaching our kids how to think through these things. Not just enough to say this is bad, this is wrong, but why is it from a biblical standpoint? Why is it from a biological standpoint? Why does it deviate from basic truth? And I think what we do is we end up strengthening our resolve when we understand these issues more, when we're able to communicate to our kids, okay, here's how we address this. Here's how we can still love every human being and not every human doing. And I think that part helps get us over this, I feel like just giving up, it's impossible.
We've got some people who want to ask you some questions, maybe make a comment for you to respond to, but tell people how to get those books.
The easiest way, you can get them on Amazon for now until they decide to kick them off, but I would encourage you to go to radiance.life. That's RADIANCE.life. And that's the easiest way. Just click on our store and go from there. I do also want to say that we have resources on sheisshe.org. If you go there and click the resources, those are the deeper resources that I'm telling you, that are apologetics resources, medical research resources, sources of help. And that's where we go deeper than the book. But if you go to radiance.life, that's the easiest way to get a copy of both He is He and She is She.
Okay, and it's radiance.life. That's L-I-F-E.
Correct.
Okay. All right, let's take some questions. Go right ahead. Jody, you there? Okay, let's hold Jody, because for whatever reason we couldn't hear her. Let's go to Jose. Peter.
Thank you, Bishop. And I just wanted to thank Ryan Bomberg. I think you're just a wonderful, happy warrior, and thanks for all the great work that you do. My question is, how do we sort of get to a point where we can sort of, instead of always being on defense, you know, the next issue coming down the pike now is polyamory, because the left is just constantly moving on to the next thing. They're never satisfied. And I noticed that the media has now begun a whole campaign to promote so-called polyamory. But I really believe a lot of this trans stuff was went wild when homosexual so-called marriage was imposed by the Supreme Court and Obama. And is there a way where we can get back to sort of like what is a Christian morality and teaching that confidently to kids? You know, why? I think this is one of the mistakes I made as a parent. I have five kids. You know, why does God want you to save sex until marriage, not just don't do it? You know, so we can get all this and we're not constantly being pushed to the next thing. And, okay, we got to fight this because this is where the left has moved to. And we've pretty much, a lot of conservatives have given up on marriage, on defending marriage. Even Trump seems to have given up on it. You know, how can we have a sort of holistic thing where we're aggressively defending Christian morality in a country where there's so few, you know, committed Christians?
It is true. And when you say a few, there are still millions and millions of us. The problem is our churches are the ones who are being silent. And anytime churches are silent, evil flourishes in whatever form it takes. The church's unwillingness in large part to address these issues is why we have an unequipped Christian population who has no idea how to even start the conversation. So that's why they end up just being quiet. Like, I don't even know how to talk about this. When you mentioned polyamory, I mean, this is something that has been, this is part of all of the LGBT, the acronym that never ends, you know, which is fitting because with a worldview that doesn't know who they are, their identity itself with its acronym constantly changes. But the problem is really the church's continued silence and our unwillingness to sometimes, you know, even challenge or encourage our pastors to engage on this. I mean, the problem, okay, I look at public school, for instance. Kids spend far more time in public schools than they do at church. They many of them, most of them spend more time at public school than they do even at home. So who become their main influencers? And this is a large part of the problem, that as parents, we've often abdicated our responsibility because we'd rather watch that sports game, we'd rather binge watch something on Netflix than spend the time in the worldview formation of our children. As conservatives, we've given up, but we say certain things like with same-sex marriage, oh, that ship has sailed. No, this ship hasn't sailed. The ship is sinking. And what it's sinking with is the weight of all the stuff that comes with it, because you can't take just one of the letters in LGBTQXYZ. You have to take it all. And so what I am encouraged by is that the transgender aspect of it has actually caused a pushback. And I'm seeing more of that, and we're seeing evidence of that even from, I mean, you know, the Harry Potter author, J.K. Rowling. I mean, she's not exactly, you know, the typical advocate in this.
Right.
But she's willing to be more vocal about this than pastors are. So if we are not individually willing to be vocal about what's going on, if we're not willing to vote, if we're not willing to actually encourage people on how to vote, if we're not willing to actually sit down with our kids for that extra hour so that we can just have conversations about what's going on, it will be lost because they are, what is it called? The mere exposure effect. They are being exposed in ads, in social media, in schools, in everywhere they go, public transit. They're being exposed to deviant sexuality everywhere they go. Well, what are they receiving to counter it? And that's really the problem. I mean, if love is love, then why not polyamory? So a large part of this is, yes, reaching our younger children, but I think too often we as adults, young adults, older adults, we're not willing to engage in the conversations. And that's where we're losing the culture, because the ones who are screaming the loudest are the only ones being heard. I'm not sure if it's like here are the practical steps, but our silence isn't aiding the rescue of our culture.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's take another question.
Good morning. This is Jose from Comunipornia, or California. And there are a lot of parents out here that are pushing back against schools, educating other parents. And I've got a quick comment and then a question. The comment is, have you heard of James Reimer, the goalie for the San Jose Sharks, who refused to wear a Pride theme warm-up? And he's the only one single man that stood up. And as a result of that, the NHL across the nation dropped the requirement or the request to use Pride-themed warm-up. So all it takes sometimes is one man. And James responded in a very Christian way about his beliefs in Christ. I think the Bible, regardless of orientation, they have value and worth, et cetera, and the best way to love them is what he's trying to do. So let us couch that message in biblical love as well when they say that we don't. That was Fox News. My question for you is what's the best way to steer these school boards? A lot of times, just small quantity of individuals are put in positions of power, and there's one school district in this area that forced all the elementary schools to fly pedophile and or homosexual flags on every elementary school because they've got a majority of homosexual people on the school board who most likely do not have biological kids, but I don't know that for sure. So is the best way to counter this by electing better school board members and getting out the vote, because they control the superintendent, who controls the curriculum.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Thank you, Jose. God bless you.
Now, I wish I were someone from ADF right now who can tell you the aspect, the legal aspect, because it is it's a multi-front battle. It's not only getting people to run for the board. Like here in Loudoun County, one of my friends, Michael Ward Vieira, ran for school board and just barely lost, despite it's painful. But, and he's going to do it again. And he's going to do it again. And this is what we have to do. We have to continue to run people who share that same ideology and are willing to fight. We have some supposedly conservative members on our school board who are spineless, and they need to be removed. We worked hard here in Loudoun County to get some of these more liberal members removed. It's just a matter of tenacity. You have to keep going, because what is the alternative? The alternative is, who then has total control? Part of the battle, too, is a legal battle. Unfortunately, here in Virginia, state law actually exempts all schools, all public schools, from obscenity laws, which means, and it's the wording is so disturbing, it doesn't matter that it's pornographic or obscene, that they are completely exempted from that. And they know this. These school board members know this. Part of it, you know, as we've done here in Loudoun County and in neighboring Fairfax County, is that the parents just never give up. They start reading excerpts. They start showing excerpts from these books. And some people say, well, we shouldn't use shame. Well, some of these school board members should feel shame as they are having these words read to them, and they cut off people's mics because it's not acceptable for a school board meeting. Well, then it's not acceptable in a library. So we have to be able to fight. And here again is where the church is involved. Where are the churches in this? And sometimes it's just someone speaking boldness into a pastor, boldness into some of your church leaders. One of the churches here, Cornerstone Chapel, I'll praise them, because Pastor Gary Hamrick is amazing on this issue. He speaks from an unapologetic standpoint, but it's so grace-filled, so biblically sound. But how can you not be engaged? So when the churches aren't engaged on the local level, you also get these school boards overrun by people who are hostile to our faith. I don't know how to state it. We cannot win some of these, and I'm not going to say cultural battles. This is a spiritual battle. It's a moral battle. We cannot win this if we allow those who are openly hostile to us to constantly control every facet of our children's education.
Yeah, let me just say, man, on Gary Hamrick, he's a dear friend. In fact, I'll be there on Sunday morning, and you're right. He is one of the boldest, most courageous pastors in America right now, with a very large church, a significant church, but he's not playing games. And so many large churches, they become so concerned about losing members and so concerned about what the media will say that they simply will not speak up on the issues of the day. So you're right about Pastor Gary Hamrick. I have the same level of admiration for him. We got one more question.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate all you do. I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but the state legislators in Idaho are presenting a bill to celebrate a traditional Family Values Month from Mother's Day through Father's Day. Now, something you might want to think about, if somebody mentioned about playing defense all the time, this is an offensive move on our part, and maybe something the pastors could support in every state legislator. What would happen if a third or half of the state legislators in this nation were starting to present that traditional Family Values Month? Where would we be?
You're calling from Ohio? Are you calling from Ohio?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. What's your name?
Unfortunately, it's my wife, Janet, but I identify as Jim as her husband.
Okay, Jim. All right, Jim. Okay, Jim. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
And that's great, because it allows the opportunity for messaging. As someone who's – I worked as a creative director in the ad agency world for years. Any opportunity we get to message, and particularly message the truth, that's great. I think it's an awesome idea. There are things that legislators can do to raise awareness about why traditional family matters, why intact marriage family matters. Children flourish the best in married families. we have a culture right now where 19.7% of Gen Z is identifying as LGBTQ. 19.7. Gen X, which I'm part of, 3.3%. We've got a lot of work to do, and part of that is celebrating the beauty and the incredible societal benefits of marriage. And I want to go back to the previous caller, too, just who mentioned James Reimer. Man, where are these men? We got all these men in professional sports. Where are they? They're barely standing. But this is why I say, look, courage doesn't need a crowd. It just needs one person. It just needs someone with conviction. And thank God for James Reimer, because who knew that one person's opposition and righteous opposition would actually change a policy? How many more times could that happen over and over again in every facet? Man, we need men to stand up. We need women to stand up too. But I'm just wondering, in these professional sports, where are the real men like Reimer?
Well, yes, there's a work to be done with men, but praise God for him. One can put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. So he's proved the principle. All right. Well, listen, it's been great having you on and having you share with us. Once again, we want people to get those books because, oh, and by the way, let me just mention, my organization, Stand, that sponsors this call. We have something called Celebrate Traditional Marriage and Family Month, which we start from Mother's Day to Father's Day as a sort of more offensive effort to push traditional family while the homosexual community is pushing this sinful pride stuff. So that's something we are doing. We have a whole kit that we will share with churches that are interested in participating in that. We got a banner and the whole deal. So I'm glad you brought that up. That's something that we have already gotten started. But anybody who wants to do something like that on their own, it's not proprietary on our part. I mean, we just think we've got to push back. So, Brian, let me turn it over to you to any final remarks you have and any ways, again, that people can connect with you, because they really should be and need to.
Well, you know, we're called to love one another. And Jesus came not only, unlike the He Gets Us campaign, He didn't just get us. He came to change us. He came to save us. And it's because of that inexplicable love for us that we should be compelled to also love others the same way. And so I just want to encourage you. It feels impossible. Look, the abolition of slavery felt impossible. And thank God abolitionists didn't give up, because I would make a horrible slave. So don't give up. What seems in the immediate, Satan loves to get us bogged down with all that. But man, instead of looking through the broken lenses of the world, look through the breakthrough filter of Christ. And we try to provide you some of those tools of hope and creativity. If you go to radiance.life, there are videos, op-eds, graphics, and of course the books, not just He Is He, She Is She, but also our pro-life kids books and my Not Equal book. But we create tools to equip you, tools that are fearless, factual, and freeing. So I invite you, radiance.life. And I just thank God for other people who love enough to want to see the shift in our culture.
Amen. Ryan, thanks for all you do, brother. We're praying for you. God bless you. I look forward to working with you in any way we can.
Awesome. Thank you, Bishop.
All right. Bye-bye now. Wow, folks, that was powerful. That was powerful. God is really using Ryan Bomberger in a great way. And, you know, one of the issues I've been hitting very hard since my presidential campaign is how important it is that we as conservative, as Christians, develop our own means of communication to the fullest extent possible, because everybody in America ought to know about Ryan Bomberger, but they don't. But they know about Planned Parenthood, don't they? Because obviously the left's got control of most of the means of communication, and they have politicized it, and they're not interested in promoting anybody that does not agree with them. And so we've got to do it on our own. And so that's one of the reasons why we do these calls, to expose you to people who we know. Sometimes you may be aware of them but not know much about them. Ryan Bomberger is one of those really important players out there in the world of trying to help call this country back to its senses and its sanity. So I hope you all will check him out further. I will be at Cornerstone Chapel on Sunday morning. I have 3 services there, I believe 8:30, 10, 15, I think, and 11:30. But I'll be there with Pastor Gary for the entire Sunday morning service. So if you're in the area, even if you don't go to that church, you want to stop by, I'd love to meet you. I'll have some books and materials there for Stan. I'll be shaking hands and signing books and so forth after each service. So come on out if you're in the area. I also want to remind you, in fact, I may be telling most of you this for the first time, I will be on Truth and Liberty. Andrew Womack Ministries has an outreach called Truth and Liberty, which is sort of the political arm of their ministry, and they have a program that comes on daily. I will be on tomorrow and Thursday. It's 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. But I will be on Wednesday and Thursday, and you can watch it. It live streams to Gospel Truth TV. I think that's .com, but you can look that up. I think it's GospelTruthTV.com, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's GospelTruthTV.net. I think their ministry uses .net. But check that out, because I will be on. My guest tomorrow is going to be my own son and some of his Christian activism in the world of Second Amendment. And then I'm going to be having Tim Wildman on Thursday to talk about the importance of Christian communications, because, as you all know, I used to be a talk show host for American Family Radio, and I really believe that they are one of the premier communicators into our culture. They're not the only ones, obviously, but they're just doing a tremendous job at it. And I support their work, even though I'm no longer working for them or with them as a host. I still support what they do, because I just know how important it is at a time when our viewpoints don't get out. Let me end with this, since we talked about this whole thing of gender confusion. I don't know whether you all saw this, but this guy playing on a basketball team with girls because he claims to be a guy, they forfeited the game, the girls did, the girls' team forfeited the game in the middle of the game because several of their players got injured. Now, the media doesn't want to say that they were injured because they were playing with this guy, but there is one scene in which he wrestles the ball from this girl. Now, this guy looks like he stands about 6'2", 6'3", something like that, maybe 6'1", 6'2". He was wrestling with this girl, seemed like she stood maybe about 5'4", 5'5", maybe something like that. But obviously, he's a man claiming to be a woman. She's a girl, really a girl. And when he took the ball from her, it was really interesting. It was almost like he shook the ball, shook her loose from the ball. Like, he didn't just take the ball from her. He shook her loose from the ball. And it was like watching an adult get rough with a child. You know, if you saw an adult go on a basketball court and you had a bunch of kids playing, you know, maybe they're 9, 10, 11 years old, that kind of thing, and the adult goes in and commandeers the ball and roughs up a kid because he's so much bigger and so much stronger, of course he can do that. That's the way it felt. And the girl, her back got twisted when he threw her down, taking the ball from her. And she lay on the floor writhing in pain because he literally just kind of twisted her back like she was a rag doll. And saying, what has to happen? Is somebody going to get killed doing this stuff? Is some poor girl, and we've already got a girl who's been brain damaged because some guy spiked the ball into her face and hit her so hard that it actually concussed her and created brain damage that she still has not gotten over. I mean, this girl may be affected for life. Is some poor young girl going to die at the hands of some guy who's claiming to be a girl? And who's going to pay for that? Who's going to be responsible? Who's going to be held accountable for that? These athletics associations that are busy going along with this madness are putting the health and well-being of these girls at risk. If you don't watch my podcast, I'm on 8:30 every morning, but this morning I talked about the cult-like nature of this, the denial of reality, the denial of facts, turning anybody who opposes you into enemies. That's the way cults behave. They adopt an unreal view of the world. It is destructive of others and destructive of themselves. anybody who does not agree with them is the enemy, who must be shunned, must be in whatever you have to do, but the enemy must be silenced. You can't associate with them. You can't listen to them. They're bad people. And ultimately, they end up hurting themselves and hurting others in the process. And that's what this is like. This is like a cult. So the cult doesn't want to admit, hey, this guy could hurt one of these girls. Nah. He's really a woman. How? Well, he said so. Doesn't matter that he's 6'1". It looked like he weighed maybe 200 pounds, 210 pounds. Where these girls are weighing what, 125, 130, and he's throwing them around like rag dolls. But that's okay. I mean, this stuff is madness. And you know, so you don't debate with a cult. You have to deprogram it. People have to be deprogrammed because they are brainwashed and indoctrinated into that way of thinking, and you can't reason them out of it. And that's what we're up against. This is a real, Brian said it, I've said it before, this is a spiritual stronghold that has taken root in people's minds and hearts and emotions, and we are up against something that really requires divine intervention. I mean, we have to do our part on an ongoing basis, be consistent, but we really need divine intervention. We need God to move because these people are sick. They just don't know it. They're sick with this stuff. Just like every anti-human, anti-life movement that we've ever seen ends up causing people to become mentally and emotionally deranged. That's what's happening in our country. These people are becoming mentally and emotionally deranged, and they're turning on people like us who say, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Say, oh, no, you're a bad person. You're the enemy. You're evil. And Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, says it as succinctly as it could ever be said, because it's the truth of God's word. Woe to those who put evil for good and good for evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And that's exactly what we've got right now. Well, look, folks, join us again next week. Of course, we'll have Senator Tuberville from Alabama on with us next week. And in the meantime, I'll be on my podcast at 8:30 a.m. every morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. You can find that on our website, standamerica.us. You can find it on Facebook, E.W. Jackson SR, we're at bishopewjackson.tv, and just go to our website. It'll tell you where you can find it. And I'll be on Andrew Womack's Truth and Liberty tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. GospelTruthTV.net and on tomorrow, Bishop, and Thursday. Yes.
It's GospelTruth.tv.
GospelTruth.tv. Thank you, Marlon. GospelTruth.tv. Okay. Tomorrow and Thursday at 5:30 p.m. I've already told you who the guests are. Listen, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for sticking with us. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.